The Retro Lounge is a look back into the archives of the Recruiters Lounge podcast with Jim Stroud and Karen Matinen. The Recruiters Lounge podcast posted weekly between the years of 2005 and 2010. With energy, wit, and opposite points of view, Jim Stroud and Karen Matinen discussed, debated, and squabbled like children over HR issues that affected the workplace and society overall for the benefit of all who would listen. This episode of the Recruiter's Lounge originally aired on August 5th, 2009. The original title, Should Executive Pay Be Regulated? And this was the original description. In episode number 129, Jim Stroud and Karen Matinen discussed the issue of executive pay. Should it be regulated? Jim says no. Karen, of course, says yes. An argument begins that lasts way longer than it should have. Then Lance Hahn of HRM Today adds his views, and then things get really heated. Eventually, the conversation focuses on how Lance was able to get a new job in HR without a resume. How? Apparently, all he needed was his blog. Plus, the announcement of a very popular blog being auctioned on eBay. Can you guess which one? All this and more in another action-packed episode of the Recruiter's Lounge podcast. Find out what was said way back when on August 5th, 2009, right after this. Critical race theory supports the logic that all whites are born racists and oppressors by nature. They are to be viewed as a collective threat to non-white people and beyond redemption. This sentiment is already infecting the American workplace via racial sensitivity and diversity trainings. Despite the obvious controversy, such trainings are being accepted as just and fair, and at an alarming pace across corporate America. Racism Reimagined: How Critical Race Theory Imperils the American Workplace is an ebook that I wrote. In it, I do three things. One, I explain the basics of critical race theory. Two, I demonstrate how critical race theory is negatively affecting the American workplace. And three, I inspire a resistance to critical race theory being taught in the workplace. In light of the increased sensitivity to recent events like the George Floyd protests, the emergence of cancel culture, and the pressures on corporations to adhere to political correctness, the information in my ebook, Racism Reimagined: How Critical Race Theory Imperils the American Workplace, is a counterbalance that should be carefully considered prior to new investments in diversity training. Racism Reimagined: How Critical Race Theory Imperils the American Workplace is a free resource that can be downloaded and, by all means, shared with those in your network. A download link is available in the podcast description.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud.
And this is Karen Matinen, and welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge.
The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
This episode of the Recruiter's Lounge is brought to you by The Searchologist. The Searchologist is a blog that gives tips, tricks, and strategies about online lead generation and resume sourcing. It is ideally suited for recruiters and sourcers seeking passive candidates. The Searchologist is updated each week and features tutorials, how-to videos, forum discussions, and weekly video broadcasts over the internet. It is chiefly written by yours truly, Jim Stroud, but will soon feature content from other leaders in the field. Check it out online, www.jimstroud.com, and click on the link called The Searchologist. That's www.jimstroud.com. Click that link, The Searchologist.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome to another exciting, action-packed episode of the Recruiter's Lounge. I'm your host with the most, Jim Stroud, and with me, as always, my faithful companion, my BFF, the source of so much agony, Karen Matinen. How are you, Karen?
Yeah, look at that. I mean, what a faithful companion. I'm the little puppy dog.
Yeah. Yeah, you're BFF and the source of much aggravation, but that's all part of your charm.
Okay, go ahead. I want to hear more. No. Okay, go ahead. What's the topic today?
Well, you know what? We got a couple topics because we're going to be fortunate enough to have a guest in the studio here in just a moment. But before we introduce our guest, I want to bounce something off of you that I'm sure that you will agree with me because you always say I'm right about everything.
Okay, go ahead.
There's this article in Time magazine
that
was debating the issue, should executive pay be regulated? And when I saw that, I had what I thought was the common sense response of no. Because if the government is going to regulate pay on any scale for any company,
they do.
That's the surest way to get people to go overseas.
But they do.
If you're going to tell me that I can only make so much money here and then someone in Japan says, hey, I'll give you this much money.
But they do it there too.
They do what there?
Regulate just like everybody else. We have minimum wage in America.
That's not executive pay.
But no, you said regulate wages. If we can regulate minimum wage, why can't we regulate executive pay?
I don't like that. I don't like that. It goes against everything. It goes against my capitalist ideology.
Okay, so you like the way life is right now in America, how we've gone into a depression all due to capitalism?
A person should be able to make as much money as they can, as much as the market will allow.
Okay, so what happens when they don't deserve it and they get these really beautiful, what do you call them, the umbrellas?
That's subjective.
It's not subjective.
I don't feel the government should be able to say, okay, we feel because of your performance you can't make this much amount of money, or we feel that no one should make this amount of more than this amount.
How about this? How about pay for performance?
That's up for a company to decide, not the government.
Well, see, when companies decide certain things, then they end up being like how we've got this huge problem with, you know, Wells Fargo. And
that was illegal activity.
No, that's true. It was up to them to do what they wanted to do, and guess what?
Sarbanes-Oxley was supposed to head off, right?
No, I mean, Madoff did what he wanted to do because we didn't regulate him either.
Broke the law, but that's just because he broke the law.
These guys do.
He broke the law and made it all bad. Doesn't mean that everybody has to be under the same umbrella that you can't.
I have a question. You got almost every bank in America, if they haven't closed down, they've been almost saved. And we're saving them. So the government's saving them. Me, the tax person, is saving them. We, the citizens, are saving these people. So these guys could have their nice little umbrella so they could go ahead and screw up all these companies and then leave with these millions of dollars for even screwing up these companies. And you're saying that's subjective.
I'm saying that the government should not have its hands in regulating how much money somebody should make.
Why? Would they regulate what we make for money than it is today?
As far as the maximum someone can make. I got no problem with the minimum wage, but I do have a problem with the maximum.
Hold on.
And actually, you know what? I might have a slight problem with the minimum wage. A slight problem with the minimum wage.
Now, I got a question bringing back the problem here. I don't have a problem if a CEO is going to go ahead and get paid for performance, where if he makes $1 million worth in sales and he's going to get paid on $1 million worth of sales, and that way he's getting paid for working, not for sitting at home watching Oprah and scratching his nuts.
Well, see, that, please, language. I have no problem with that from a company culture perspective, but I don't want Uncle Sam.
Company culture, they make the company.
Uncle Sam should not come in and say, your CEO can only make $100,000, your CEO can only make $75,000.
CEOs set the company culture. Excuse me, you're saying depending on company culture? I'm going to set the company culture of what I'm going to get paid, and I'm going to go ahead and make sure that if I want to watch Oprah all day and do nothing, I can set that, and also make sure that when I die, my wife still gets money.
But that's something that has to be looked over, reviewed by the board of directors.
Board of directors, dude. The CEOs that make the company's culture are on the board of directors of other companies that they set this for. So they
CEOs are not kings. Board of directors are not kings. They still have to answer to the stock.
Stockholder
does not like what's going on, and they start divesting from the company, then no one's going to make any money.
But
at least all this.
Exactly. exactly the point. Why do you think we're in a recession today? Because nobody did make any money. The companies all went bankrupt, and they're all being hurt because the CEOs did this. They cheapened themselves out of labor, the companies out of labor, whilst they kept putting big fat pocket checkbooks in them, on them themselves.
You know what?
We got a guest here.
I was going to say that. Let's not if we threw blood in the water.
To shut up and listen.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to let you do it. Karen, would you introduce our guest, please?
I get to talk. Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Introduce our guest, please.
We have a wonderful guest actually on board, and I really am excited about this guy because he's got a story to share that's amazing.
Story.
His name is Lance Hahn. Lance, come on board and get yourself, first off, introduce yourself about who you are, what you do, and then get in on this argument.
Awesome.
Lance, are you there?
My name is I've been listening and watching the back and forth here. My name is Lance Hahn. I run the blog yourhrguy.com. I've been doing that for over 3 years. I've also been a HR person practicing in the field for the past 6 years. And last week I got laid off, and I'm transitioning out of the HR practitioner and into a more a vendor role, actually.
Mm-hmm. So this is a good topic for you right now, too, then, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it?
So I guess I'm going to have to side more with Jim on this one.
In your face, Karen! Go ahead.
I'm not shocked, okay? I'm not surprised. Go ahead.
I'm a big-time pro-freedom guy, so I like not having the government in the hands of what companies are paying, what companies are doing. I think there's a little bit too much regulation right now anyways. adding an extra level of bureaucracy there, I don't know, it doesn't work for me. Although, I mean, honestly, one way or the other, I mean, if it comes down to it, I guess I don't care too much. I'm not getting executive level pay yet, so it will only really impact me when I get to that level.
Okay, now here's a question, okay? I want to bring this to both of you. There is a statement that Madoff made about 2 years before he got busted. He said he could never do anything illegal because there was so much government regulation in America. Now, when people tell me that there's a lot of government regulation, I get kind of shocked because a lot of people don't recognize that regulation actually, like even Sarbanes-Oxley and all those were pretty much taken away by, I can't remember what his name is, Fox from the SEC, totally deregulated much of this area. You know, we lost a lot of regulation, not gaining regulation. That was due to the lack of regulation that we are today, where we're at today. So my question is that when we look around what's happening right now, which, by the way, is exactly reminiscent to what happened during the Great Depression. In fact, Jim, if you remember correctly, as of 3 years ago, I said we were heading towards another Great Depression. And you guys all laughed at me, but I said, this is what's going to happen. And the reason I said it was because of the fact that we had problems with the lack of regulation in this country. Because a lot of people don't know this, but this SEC was created during the Great Depression because of the same problems. They had the same type of fraud going on in the stock market, almost reminiscent to what's going on today. So now, my question to both of you is, when you've got a CEO working on the board of Ceradyne, and he's also now sitting on the board of Intel, and he's on the board of directors, and all the board of directors are on his company at Ceradyne are also on the board of directors, are also CEOs of other companies that he's a board of director of, and they're all scratching each other's backs. Can you guys not understand that how this could possibly have such an adverse impact on our economy as it is today?
Okay, who wants to go first? Lance, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue is if the board of directors who are elected by the shareholders, who are the owners of the company, if they all agree that this is how they want to do business, it's bad business. I agree. It's not a good thing. But the company should be allowed to do those things and fail. I mean, that's how we punish companies in this country. I mean, at least that's how I see it. That's always how I've kind of viewed these companies that do a lot of stupid things that people want to re-regulate. You know, hey, let them fail. If what they're doing is stupid, they'll pay the price eventually.
Well, my question to that if the problem is in their failing, is that it hurts not just you or me or the shareholders of that particular company, but it hurts the 6 to 10 to 15 to 20, 30,000 people who work at that company. Circuit City, no more. You got all these companies, no more. And so many jobs lost that aren't being rebuilt today because nobody was telling these guys, hey, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
There were certain laws in place that said you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. They broke the law.
They weren't anymore. They took away a lot of those laws. Cox took away a tremendous number of laws as of 4 years ago. That's why it was a joke. It was a joke when there are so many regulations, I could never get away with doing anything wrong. This is when he was, at the time, stealing our country blind.
So, Lance, what you'll see between Karen and I, if you listen to some of the other podcasts, is that it's the basic ideological difference between us. Karen is more of a big government gal.
Oh, I hate when people say that.
Whereas I believe Uncle Sam needs to be a little less, and I think it should be more individual, less government, and I think Karen...
I believe in self-regulation. I want to clarify this. I am a firm believer in self-regulation. But I do because I believe that even with capitalism, you can't have capitalism without government regulation. You cannot. And we have proven that in this economy right now.
Okay.
Without government regulation, I mean, let's take what happened with the oil and gas. It was all speculation, not Middle East, that made our gas go up. We hurt the whole country as a whole, put businesses out of business and put people out of labor. And our wages today, we have lost $1.6 billion in 1 month just due to wages. We have never had, this is the lowest that wages have dropped since recorded history. As of today, we have never dropped that low. So the fact is, I can understand great capitalism and everything else, but when you've got to look at the millions and hundreds of millions of people living in America, I'm sorry, but when you've got a man making $6 million or $60 million, you think he's going to be thinking about the best interests of the individuals of working for him, or you think he's thinking about his own back pocket?
Wait. So you think everybody should be at the same economic level?
No. Heck no. I'm not into communism, for God's sake.
Okay, Lance, we've had this argument back and forth on and off the air. I'm rolling my eyes, and you can't see that, neither can anyone else who's watching it.
Communism. No, I didn't say anything like that.
I didn't say that.
Germany, you have CEOs. Do you know America makes our executives, CEOs, make near 100 times more than any other executives in any other country? But they make a lot of money. Now, Americans, if we regulate ours, no, they won't go to Japan.
It makes a lot of money because people are paying in that.
Because Japan, they do regulate. In Europe, they do regulate. Every other country does. So they won't go away. They won't leave us.
If a company wants the best, they're going to ante up. And if they don't ante up, the person's going to go somewhere else.
If the company wants the best, a person, I'm a salesperson. And I got to tell you, as a salesperson, I would rather be paid a lower salary and higher commissions. And a good CEO is going to think like that.
Okay. That's a subjective thought.
No, that's a good CEO. I believe in myself.
Look, I'm not saying I'm disagreeing. I'm saying it's a subjective thought. And regardless of the thought, it shouldn't be regulated by the government, which is my standing.
We regulate minimum wages. Why shouldn't we regulate the maximum in that aspect?
I have a slight problem with minimum wage. It's a very slight problem, but I do have a slight problem with it.
Okay.
If you raise minimum wage up too much, and it's going to bring up the cost of doing business, which means that business will not have enough money to hire more people.
Wait, okay, if you raise minimum wage, more people buy your product. There's more people to spend money on your product, that you end up hiring more people because you have more people buying your product. Remember, wages just declined, not went up. This is the lowest wages have been ever since recorded history. And that means consumer spending is also the lowest almost ever. So, yes, in raising minimum wages, you're going to find that absolutely the opposite is going to happen. More people will be there to buy your product.
Minimum wage has the minimum wage has been raised.
Yes.
I mean,
recently.
It's been raised every year the last couple of years.
Do you know federally that the minimum wage first time ever raised was last year in 20 years? It's statewide,
right.
Yes. It might have been raised in some states, but only 20 states compared to federal were actually raised it. Federal had not been raised for almost 20-something years.
So you're saying that as of now, wages are at the lowest point, even though we've pushed through a huge minimum wage increase.
The minimum wage went up last week. So, yeah.
No, there was one last year, too.
That one was based upon per state, and it was a minor minimum wage, but it was not a huge minimum. This one was huge. But, yes, wages had been declining. What people don't know this, wages had been declining nine times in the past 10 years. But this is the worst it ever – this last month was the worst it ever declined in recorded history. We lost $1.6 billion in just one month.
Blaming all this on the capitalistic system?
No. I'm not blaming it on anything. I'm blaming it on the fact that right now, if you don't have more wages, then you have less consumer power. That's what I'm saying is that we have a problem. I'm not blaming anything. I'm just saying here's a fact, and how do we resolve it? You don't resolve it by lowering wages.
Wait.
The problem is people keep saying, hey.
Wait. We're going to a long political diatribe discussion.
I'm not getting into politics. You are.
That wasn't even the main point of the show. I thought it was be like
thing,
a...
Okay, one thing. Unemployment. Everybody keeps thinking unemployment's an issue. It's not unemployment that's the problem. It's the lack of new jobs that's the problem. We need new jobs to help fix the economy.
Or more entrepreneurs.
Well, entrepreneurs do create jobs. But the problem is even if you have an entrepreneur, you have to have people spending to buy into your product. You could be an entrepreneur, but if nobody's buying your product, then you're wasting time.
Unless you're doing a product or service that businesses will buy.
Absolutely.
You can look at eBay, which is making money right now. You can look at Amazon, it's still making money right now. If you look at Apple, that's making money right now. If you provide a product or service that people will want, they'll buy it no matter what.
Yeah, people are getting rid of their regular phones and buying into cell phones because it's more, especially when you're looking for a job, it's much more easier to have. And you're right, Amazon, eBay, and a lot of those places where you can get lower prices are making and kicking butt. Absolutely true. But now let's go back to the entrepreneur. If we have a million entrepreneurs coming out, do you think all of them are going to succeed?
Maybe
not. A million in one, I mean.
All in that same bumps, but you were saying.
They all had the same product. That's how they all became Amazons.
You were saying they need more jobs, and I was saying they need to be more entrepreneurs.
Well, that's okay.
That's not necessarily an agreement.
Jobs. Even if you're being an entrepreneur, creating a job for yourself. But the thing is, again, now who's going to pay for your health benefits? Who's going to pay for your 401k? You know, I mean, you are an entrepreneur, yes. You will still always work for the man because you always want your 401k. You always want your health benefits.
There are other options out. Hello, Lance. You had a positive story.
He did. Let's go with that. Let's talk. Let Lance talk. But about that.
No matter how I counter Karen, she will keep on arguing it. So go ahead.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Good idea to transition out of that.
Yes. Instead of all the gloom and doom that some people want to promote, I want to talk about some of the positive things that have happened in this world. Now, Lance, you had a very interesting story about how you got the position that you're working on now or transitioning to?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so like I said, about a week ago, I was laid off from my position where I was working as an HR generalist. And as you know, I've got a blog, yourhrguy.com. Got a pretty good following there, so I kind of posted there. Several other people posted, and it was passed along through Twitter. And all of those things. I mean, there's a big bunch of people that forwarded on my information on Twitter, got a lot of emails, and got a person from this company I'm working for who's been reading my blog for about the last 6 months, saw that I was available, been reading my blog for 6 months, so he kind of, knew me better than any resume is going to tell him, better than any interview is going to tell him. And, he said, hey, is this an opportunity that you you're interested in. I know it's not strictly HR, but it does interface a lot with that. You can do more social media. You can do more blogging, those sorts of things. You can talk to HR professionals all day, talk to them about what they're doing with their employees and those sorts of things. And, you know, we talked back and forth last week, and, man, it was a good fit. So we, you know, shook hands on it over the phone, basically. They're based out of Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm working out of Portland, Oregon. So it's a really cool story. I mean, it's something that I tell people. I never sent them a resume. We never did an application, or we didn't do ever a formal interview. We kind of just jumped into this conversation on, okay, can I help you guys? Okay, what way? That sort of thing. So it was very cool, kind of a next generation sort of thing. I mean, that's how. I mean, I'm sure that's how a lot of people would prefer to hire candidates, somebody that they really know and understand and see where they're coming from.
That's very cool. I read this article. Actually, I read two articles recently about something similar to this. One was on the research goddess, AmyBethHale.com. She had an article where she was following up, actually, on an article she had submitted to CruiterTalk.com, where she was saying how these hiring managers bypass recruiters entirely and just talk to people on Twitter and I think on some other social networks and build up a conversation, and one thing led to another and ended up hiring them. So it just really strikes in my mind how important it is to really brand yourself online and just to get out there and to share your expertise, because people out there are reading and watching.
Yeah, it's an interesting strategy. I'm interested to see if it's going to take more of a hold in several years. I think it's become more and more popular.
Well, may I make something too? And I think it was you who might have said that, or actually, well, who was it that might have mentioned this? They said, you know, you should at least call or get connected to at least two or three people you connect with on Twitter or on these networks to at least establish connections. Because, I mean, let's think about it. If you didn't, A, have content, or B, at least have a strong positive network, you wouldn't have had such a force as well, people wanting to help you or get the word out, or you know what I mean? I mean, you've made yourself actually out there and put yourself out there so people can actually know who you are and be willing to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Does
and
that make sense
I mean,
to anybody?
That's always been kind of my philosophy, and I'm sure you guys can understand that too. I mean, you know, you don't want to just sit in your basement and your parents' basement and blog all day. That's not what blogging is about. It's about making connections and making those personal connections, whether it be by email or connecting on Twitter or just going back and forth in comments. I mean, if you're just pushing out content, that's the least common denominator of blogging, and that's not going to help you out much. I don't think so at all.
What do you think, as a person who's done really well with their blog, you have any tips to give people like Jim and myself? Yeah, we can use some help here. And Jim.
Yeah, I think Jim does a great job.
He does an excellent job, but we can always learn from others.
Always room for improvement, I think is what she's saying.
Yeah.
I think the big thing, and this is always one thing I've kind of stressed, is that you spend, just like I think this is a good personal philosophy too. You spend and maybe it's kind of a nice end to our political conversation. You spend more time listening to other people and learning from them than you spend talking. Or anything along those lines. But that's been the way that I've done it. I don't post a ton. I post once or twice a week most times. I spend a lot of time reading, listening, talking to people, and so that's what's worked for me. And it's not something that's done a whole lot, at least in the community. A lot of people are posting, maybe sending comments out, trying to get traffic. To me, it's more about making connections with people I wouldn't have made connections with otherwise. And that's the other cool part about this. It just, you know, it's an opportunity that I never would have had if I hadn't gone out and made those relationships with people. I mean, it just wouldn't have happened.
You know, as you were saying, I was thinking that with people reaching out to people through other social networks and means, that kind of thing, would that mean the death of the resume? Would anybody mind if the resume just died and people just talked out there in the blogosphere and other people who are looking for people with their talent just reached out to them that way?
I can't see that happening. Not with all the government regulations. Oh, sorry, guys, regulations. But that's nah, we can't get around it. It's there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Because it's there.
Yeah, she had to do that. I knew that was coming.
No, because it's there. I mean, unfortunately, whether or not we like it, that regulation.
Oh, whether we like it or not, right?
Exactly. Right? We can't get okay, but I do want to come back to something that Lance said. Okay.
No. Because we're about to run out of time. We're on a schedule. So.
I'm gonna cry now.
No, you're gonna cry. Lance, I had to ask Lance a question too.
You can't because it's running out of time. So there.
Because this is a quick question.
I might win too, but that's okay.
Lance, I heard that there was a certain site going up for. Going up for bid soon. Did
that's
you hear anything about
ask him. Oh my God!
Yes, HRM Today. So Lori Rudiman and I basically put together this site about a year ago.
It's a great, by the way. I'm a member of it.
Thank
it
you,
is
very,
really good.
Yes, definitely.
And so basically we've put it up. We're going to be putting it up for auction Wednesday. It'll be up on all of our sites, the link to it and everything. We're going to start bidding as low as possible, so I think we could go to one penny. So if it sells for one penny, that's what we're going to sell for. There's no reserve.
I'll tell you that close enough.
There's
wow, you would let it go for one penny if someone bid 2 pennies on it?
If somebody does 2 pennies on it by the end of the auction, then that's what we're going to sell it for.
Now, how long is the auction going to be?
It's going to be for 10 days, so we're going to kind of maximize exposure as much as possible. But we really want to, I mean, if possible, I mean, obviously we can't pick the winning bidder, but obviously we'd love to see somebody that wants to keep the community continuing to grow and do that. And really it's a matter of both. Lori's blog has just exploded. I don't know if you've noticed that, but she's speaking everywhere. Lori Rudiman of Punk Rock HR.
Oh, yeah.
Her blog has exploded, and she's speaking everywhere, so she's busy, I'm busy, and we both don't have the time to do it, so we hope we can find somebody that has the time, that has the passion, and really wants to keep
have
it going.
Have you guys thought about maybe just hiring someone instead?
Well, because we haven't really done much on the side of revenue. We just, that's not been our shtick. We don't do much advertising. We don't do much anything along those lines. Almost everything that we get as far as, Schwag or, cool prizes, we pass on to the people that are part of the community. So
it really is. I mean, I have really enjoyed being a member. That's one of the few places I actually go there and listen rather than talk much.
And on that note, before we close out, give out again the web address people can go and check it out.
Yeah, hrmtoday.com, Human Resources Management Today, basically. That's where it's at. My site's yourhrguy.com. Got to get that plug in, too.
Yes, definitely.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for enduring this episode of the Recruiter.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jim and Karen.
All right. And
it was a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's the end of our show, and as always, you've been a very great audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or simply hate what you just heard, please let us know. You can reach me, Jim Stroud, at jim@therecruiterslounge.com or karen@therecruiterslounge.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us by iTunes or just subscribe to the site, of course, therecruiterslounge.com. The theme song of The Recruiter's Lounge is courtesy of Brain Bucket and the PodSafe Music Network. Find them online at music.podshow.com.
And so this ends this edition of The Retro Lounge, home of classic episodes of The Recruiter's Lounge podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe now so you don't miss a future episode, okay? Cool. Until next time, bye-bye.
Ever heard of stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of stoicism with a lowercase s and not stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold, indifference, all that is stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.